You see, we have come to that moment today in our scripture where we realize that indeed the Son of Man is going to suffer and die. The woman with the alabaster jar is the first to recognize who Jesus is and what is going to happen. That indeed the Son of God must suffer and die and be resurrected in order for the kingdom of God to come upon this earth, to come into all this world. In all the events from today, Palm Sunday, through this week of Holy Week, we as Christians learn about ourselves. We learn about who we are. Few of us would have stood with the woman. Some might have taken the sword and tried to use violence in the face of approaching suffering. Some might even have hid and run the other way. Few could take the extraordinary action of the woman with the alabaster jar. She's not only the sensitivity to truly understand what is happening, but also the courage to act upon that which is happening around her. The act itself that day is a mini crucifixion for her, because she must give up everything that she has and owns and suffer in order to be who God calls her to be. She is very much alone in her understanding and in her action that day. It brings her nothing but ridicule and scorn from those around her. For some reason, following Christ requires you and I to go against the grain. It requires seeing the world not through the eyes of the most powerful, but through the eyes of the poor. Many, many years ago, when I was in seminary in Kentucky, a friend of mine went undercover as a homeless person for a class project. And he lived on the streets of Louisville as a homeless person. He was beat up. He was robbed. He slept in abandoned cars and homeless shelters. Of all the places he went for help, there was only one place where people looked him in the eye, touched him, and called him by name. And it just happened to be a United Methodist church. And at that particular time, I was going to a Baptist seminary, and all the little Baptist churches downtown closed their doors. And that was something that's part of this that was trying to say, what in the world are you doing? And it kind of opened something up and something good happened. When my friend's 2 weeks on the streets was complete, he wrote his paper about his experience for that class. His experience made it to the Louisville Courier Journal, which was the local paper. His experience so moved the church that helped him that they mounted a citywide crusade and joined other denominations. It became an interdenominational thing to raise money for a daycare center for the homeless. It was a place that would just open its doors and allow the homeless to kind of wander in and out all day long. They could get off the streets when it was cold and wet. It was a place where they could come and sit down and have a cup of coffee or some water or tea, or they could eat something. It was a place also in the middle of the day where they could have a meal. It was a place where they could also put their stuff and have a safe place to rest. You see, that is something that happened because someone took the time to be Christ to that man. And in turn, his experience helped others to open up their eyes to see what was not going on and see what could happen. And it just became something that is continuous to this day. You see, the events of Holy Week are dominated by what happens to Jesus. You see, Jesus was conspired against. He was anointed for burial. He was denied. He was betrayed. He was captured. He was tried. He was sentenced. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was crucified. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. You see, Jesus identifies with the everyday, ordinary, common people like you and I. And it is this identification that causes and creates us mercy and grace. It allows us to have that mercy and grace that comes by knowing Him. What we all want is a hero, though, in our world who will come in and set things straight. Somebody that's powerful, a dominant figure, who will move the world in a new direction, get rid of the false prophets and all those crooked leaders around, clean up the place and establish a new rule. We want powerful and bold against action from a great leader who will set the mess of our lives and the injustices of the world straight. But you know, that's not kind of what we got. We got Jesus. Jesus prepares the way for that to happen. But at the end of the week, the ball is not in His court, but it's in our court. The ball is in our court. The necessary action now must be yours as in mine. It is ours. We have to take responsibility for our actions and our attitudes. You see, Jesus' actions that day to be the suffering servant, to identify with the little, the least, the last, the lost. He calls us to recognize that in imitating Him, we find that new life, even if it is in what we would consider the strangest of places. We find it in the midst of someone who was beaten, who was denied, who was captured, who was mocked. We find it in the Christ. We find it in the Christ. You see, few people realized as the woman spent all that she had that day on a bottle of oil perfume to anoint Jesus' body, as she violated the religious and secular customs of the day and scandalized those who watched her, that she herself was becoming part of this new kingdom that Jesus in His death and new life was bringing to the world. You see, women were not allowed to speak in public. Women were not allowed to be with men when they were talking in public. And she went in amongst the people at Bethany into the house that was there. And she knelt down and she worshiped Him, but she also broke open that bottle and she poured that oil upon Him and it anointed Him. And of course, everybody began to talk about her. But she did something so radical. Radical hospitality. She did something so out of the norm that she began to do it. And people, of course, there's probably some that will remember that and said, wow. There were others who couldn't wait to say, oh, she's in the wrong place at the wrong time. Why is she doing that? Oh, she could have took that money and done this. But you know, people have that kind of money all the time and they don't feed the poor. People have that kind of money all the time and they don't do anything good with it. She's saying she took what she had, she gave of herself. She gave all of herself to bring life to the world. You see, the problem that you and I have as human beings is that most of us are in the crowd that day. We're in the crowd with all the others, and we're waving our palm branches. We're waving, not knowing who Jesus is. Most of us are there with the disciples who cut and run at the first moment they could. But few of us are with the woman who gives all that she has for the Christ. Let us pray.